Flynn, Episode 2, Red Dragon.
Come on over here. That's the boys. Come on. Okay. Settle down. All right, now let me explain the rules of the game, okay?
Tides and I were playing scrounge football.
Hey, good catch.
He'd been hanging out around the Blarney Boy for 3 days now.
Anywhere off the dock is out of bounds. Oh, no, you don't. You're not faking by me that way.
It's a long visit by his standards. Oh, yeah, you wanted to know why I call him Tides. Well, it's simple. He's a free spirit. Comes and goes. Ebbs and flows.
Okay. You win. Here's your dinner. Shh, quiet, boy. Quiet, Tides. I don't hear this.
Come on, Flynn, old buddy. Play hard to get. I'm bringing a big story tomorrow. I need someone to help me celebrate. What about it? Okay, don't pick up. Hey, anything happens, I whispered it in a seagull's ear.
A seagull's ear? And what the hell did that mean? McNair was trying to hook me with another of his kids' guessing games. Jimmy's houseboat was on the other side of Granville Island, just a 10-minute walk away. But I knew celebrating another newspaper expose was just an excuse for a booze-up. Well, his columns don't amount to that much anymore. All sound and fury, but little substance. So I decided to stay and play with the dog. Should have been a better friend. This time he wasn't faking it.
Flynn, you home?
Oh, hi, Sam.
You got company, Flynn?
No, just a telephone message, nothing important.
Well, come on, man.
Oh, okay. Where are we going?
Johnny's restaurant. Oh, Willie's meeting a guy there. A lawyer.
Uh-huh.
Invited her to dinner.
So what are we doing? Spying?
No. I'm hungry, that's all.
Yeah. Come on, let's go get something.
Whoever Willie's date was, he had good taste. Johnny's was a first-class seafood house. Lots of windows overlooking a row of houseboats on False Creek. It was waterfront, but right in the center of the city. Whatever surveillance plan Sam had in mind never got off the ground. Willie spotted us as we slipped in. The next thing we knew, we were invited to dinner.
My name's Kalari. The more the merrier.
How do you do? Sam Green.
Hi,
this is Flynn.
Hi, good to meet you.
Flynn. We're celebrating Martin's new appointment.
Mm. Oh? What appointment?
A special crown prosecutor. Attorney General called me in last week.
Yeah. Martin will be focusing on youth gangs.
Mm, the Locos, Red Tigers, the growing problem. It should be an interesting year.
Okay. I thought you specialized in immigration cases.
Oh, how'd you know? Did you look me up? Now, that was years ago. I've been in corporate law since then. Not so messy. But you're right. Immigration and my interest in languages caught the attention of the higher-ups, I'm told.
You know what it's like when you hate a guy the first time you set eyes on him? Well, it was like that with Willie's new boyfriend, Martin Kalari. Another yuppie lawyer with an ego big enough to stupefy a rhinoceros. I mean, why couldn't Willie see through this guy?
Youth crime is very high profile right now.
So, toss the kids in jail and win a few political brownie points. Is that it?
Flynn's got his own ideas about how to deal with juveniles.
Really?
Coaches a kids' team.
Oh, what game?
Football.
Beanpole like you? I wouldn't guess.
Oh, yeah? Ask me anything.
Is this really necessary?
What about the Grey Cup?
What year?
1982.
Played in Toronto. Edmonton Eskimos against the Argos.
Oh, right.
Now, you tell me who won.
Toronto Argos.
Wrong. The Eskimos. Took the Argos 34-16.
$50 says you're wrong.
Oh, yeah? You're on. I got that much in one of my pockets here. Well, and you have a wallet with a hidden zipper compartment. Mm. Impressive.
I don't believe this.
I'll hold the money.
I have a friend on the sports desk at the Sun. I'll give him a call.
Nice phone.
Just another electronic toy, according to WP. Hi, Andy. Glad I caught you. Yeah, Martin Kalari. I want to settle a bet. Can you give me the score in the 1982 Grey Cup game? Yeah, 1982. Eskimos 34, Argo 16.
Hmm.
Really. Okay, thanks, Andy. Seems you're right, Clint.
Imagine that.
Here's your money, my boy. Or maybe the winner should pick up the tab for dinner.
Willie shot me a critical glance. It had stupid men's games written all over it. Oh, maybe she was right. But I was enjoying the afterglow of taking this suit to the cleaners. Then all hell broke loose.
Oh, Jesus! Willie! Willie, are you all right?
Yeah, I think so. What happened?
An explosion right next door. Look, here's my phone, WP. Call 911. I'm going to check this out.
It took me a moment to grasp what had happened. As the smoke billowed away from the broken windows, I was able to look down the shoreline promenade leading to the line of wooden houseboats. One looked like an upturned box of matchsticks, completely shattered. A massive maelstrom of flame engulfed the chaotic tangle of cedar siding. It was Jimmy McNair's place. Well, no sooner had Martin and I charged out of the restaurant than a red sports car burst out of a parking stall nearby. The driver was Oriental, scared as hell.
Hey, you, stop!
All right.
I got his plate. RCA 034.
I bet he's involved in it.
Yeah, well, forget him. There might be someone in that house. Right. Come on!
The situation was hopeless. And nobody could live through this. The blast blew out the side of the kitchen and collapsed the upper floor into the living room. Fire was consuming everything.
Yeah, it looks like the propane storage tank exploded.
Yeah, well, not by accident. I mean, these houseboats are checked regularly. Toughest safety code in the city. Look, let's try the...
Hang on, Flynn. The place is too far gone. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah, Kalari was right. A wall of superheated air drove us back from the flaming wreck. Adjoining units were starting to smoke.
Hey, what's this? Must have been blown clear by the explosion.
Kalari retrieved a small, charred black box from the walkway. Judging from the dangling wires, it housed some kind of electronic device. Kalari carefully slipped it into his pocket.
Clear back! Clear back! Let the firemen do their job!
I'm Special Crown Prosecutor Martin Kalari. We found some evidence.
Thank you, sir. The police will see to it.
Thank you.
Get water onto the next houseboat, boy! The whole place could go off!
So you didn't see Jimmy today? Yeah, okay, Ed. Let me know if he shows up or if you hear anything, okay?
No luck, huh?
Some people saw him earlier in the day.
Mm.
Not tonight.
Well, what about the newspaper?
Talked to the city editor. About 5 o'clock, Jimmy phoned. He was onto a breaking story. He wanted to fax them a revised column. They never got it.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah, you did the right thing. Well, of course we'll represent him. We'll be right there.
What's up, Sam?
Well, now, you may want to pass on this one, Flynn.
Why?
That was my old friend Raymond Lee.
Huh?
His nephew was the kid in the red car.
By the time we reached Raymond Lee's townhouse, I was hyperventilating. Now, Sam had given me the lecture on due process, but all I could think of was this Sung Lee kid. May have killed my friend. Then as I got out of the car, I saw it. The red Camaro. It was parked in the open garage. And the rage just boiled up in me. Still, I managed to clamp a lid on my feelings.
Thanks for getting here so fast, Sam. The boy's inside.
Sung Lee looked older than his 16 years. He was trendy. Oversized black leather jacket, new designer jeans, Jetstar basketball shoes, wore his baseball cap reversed. Small red tiger logo graced the area over the peak. Yeah, he was defensive and cocky, but his palms were damp, and sweat beaded along his upper lip.
Sam, he didn't kill the newspaper man. It's true he has been stupid, hanging around with those red tiger people.
Yeah.
I told him it would bring trouble. But I'm sure he has done no criminal thing.
Where's the boy from?
Hong Kong. He lives here with me now.
And I speak English. Is that what you're worrying about?
Hong Kong, why are you going to talk to say, Loa?
Sam, you have to help him. We saw the news report on TV.
Yes, it's all right, old friend. We'll do all we can.
Sam, he was in that red car right across from Jimmy's houseboat. I saw him.
Yeah, I was set up. I got a call. He said he was Jimmy something. He was writing a story on Asian gangs. There was some money in it for me if I checked his facts. Kind of a research thing. Nothing heavy. My name wouldn't be mentioned.
Yeah, well, if it was all as innocent as that, why did you take off so fast?
What the hell would you have done? I figured somebody's trying to kill me.
Well, maybe the Red Tiger Gang found out about your meeting.
Hey, I was checking facts. I wasn't going to think on them.
You knew that, but did they?
My God.
Raymond, I'd recommend he turn himself in voluntarily before the cops track down his car.
Wait a minute. Your car. Why didn't you close the garage door to keep it out of sight?
Door's jammed. Conked out 2 days ago. The automatic opener won't work.
Where's the transmitter unit?
In the car.
Better take a look. This stair lead to the garage?
Yeah. You think they might be trying to booby-trap my car?
I didn't know whether I trusted the kid or not. But chances were there was more to the explosion and fire than he could have arranged. He was too stupid. A thrill seeker, not a hitman for a tough outfit like Red Tiger's. The transmitter was in the car, but what about the detonator? Or there had to be something to set off the explosive. I got a stepladder and removed the plastic housing covering the control unit for the door opener.
Afraid of.
What's wrong?
The control box is missing. The transmitter's still in the car?
The open and close thing, it's in the glove compartment. I'll get it.
No, don't touch it.
You think that's what they used? I mean, to set off the explosives. But I was in the car. How could they?
Oh, great, Franklin.
Well, what do you know? Red Camaro? RCA 034?
Yeah.
And my old friend...
Look, he's turning himself in voluntarily, Franklin. Sam Green's upstairs right now making the arrangements. Hey, there's more to this than meets the eye.
Oh, I'm sure there is, Flynn. Tampering with evidence, for one thing.
What?
Get into the police cruiser. Both of you.
Sergeant Dieter Franklin of the Youth Crime Squad. What he had to do with the murder investigation, God only knew, but I wasn't going to ask him right then. You see, I'd locked horns with Sergeant Franklin more times than I wanted to remember. He hated private investigators unraveling his cases. Well, it took 2 hours for Sam and Willie to spring me, but Sung Lee was arrested and held without bail. Now, the kid was in for a rough ride. So by 2 a.m, I was back on the boat and fast asleep. But I still wasn't sure what had happened to Jimmy McNair.
Again? I'm breaking a big story tomorrow. I need someone to help me celebrate. What about it? Okay, don't pick up. Hey. Anything happens? I whisper in your seagull's ear. I whisper in your seagull's ear. I whisper it in your seagull's ear.
Flynn. Flynn, wake up. It's morning.
What's happened?
It's me, W.P. What were you dreaming?
Jimmy.
Oh.
Any news about Jimmy?
Well, they're not sure yet, but they found a body.
Found a body? Mm. In the houseboat?
Yeah, they're going to check dental records.
It's him. I know it's him. I'm going to find out.
Where are you going?
First, to the morgue, and then to talk to Franklin.
No, come with me. I've got Sam's car.
God, why didn't I listen? I owed him. When I was screwed up after my dad died, he helped me get through it.
You were drinking buddies?
Yeah, but it went deeper than that. You see, my dad was the one who wanted to be a lawyer.
Oh.
But he couldn't afford it, so he worked his ass off in the stock market and gave me a chance to fulfill his dream. You know, kind of surrogate.
Not the best reason to study law.
Well, no, I was never comfortable in the role. One day when we were drinking on the boat, I told them I was quitting. They didn't say much, but the disappointment was there in his eyes. So when I sobered up, I went to his office to apologize. The ambulance got there ahead of me. He'd had a heart attack.
He died?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know he had a bad ticker.
But it wasn't your fault.
Yeah, it took a long time for me to figure that out. Jimmy helped me. But when he needed help, I didn't even answer his phone call. Well,
you can't beat up on yourself like this.
Yeah.
There was no way you could have known what was going on. We still don't know.
Going to the morgue to try to ID Jimmy's body was a stupid idea. The charred remains under a white sheet didn't resemble a human being in any way. One quick look and I was sick and out of there. By the time we got over to Sergeant Franklin's office, word of the visit had preceded me.
What's wrong, Flynn? You're looking a little green. Is it St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. Do we listen to sick jokes or exchange information on the case?
A little premature, aren't you?
The defense has a right to know.
After we finish our investigation.
Oh, then maybe you don't need to hear this.
What's that?
Audio cassette. Jimmy McNair's called me late yesterday. Don't ask me about the seagull thing. I don't know the connection.
Well, let's have it.
After you give us a peek at what you've got.
I could nail you for withholding evidence.
He mentioned the call in his statement. He just forgot it was on tape.
Yeah, all right. Now, the stuff's in here. Don't touch anything. It was pretty well a meltdown. Personal computer, floppy disks, fax machine, wooden filing cabinets. Yeah, all hard copy files, stuff like that. A complete write-off. It was a hot fire.
What's this?
Yeah, telephone.
And this?
Some kind of timer. For lights, recording TV shows. Okay. That's enough. We're still examining this stuff, so let's go.
Is this the control box Kalari picked up off the walkway?
Yeah. And it matches the frequency of the switching unit found in Sung Lee's car. Now, other scratches and installation marks confirm the control box is the one taken from the garage. Your client's going to take the fall, Ms. Green.
You still don't have a motive.
If you knew Jimmy McNair, you'd know that was motive enough. Now, he's been stirring up trouble ever since I can remember. This hit was probably an initiation rite, settling a score for older members of the gang.
How can you be so certain?
They use younger kids to do their dirty work. If anything goes wrong, they hide behind the Young Offenders Act.
But why McNair?
McNair was an SOB, Ms. Green. It's a wonder somebody hadn't popped him before this. Give me the cassette, Flynn.
Yeah.
Thanks. I think you know your way out.
What was that all about?
Jimmy wrote some columns about crooked cops. A couple of weeks later, he was drinking with some friends and let slip that Franklin was on his list. But he couldn't prove anything. Well, the rumor got around and Franklin lost out on a promotion.
Well, look who's here. Oh. My worthy opponents. I never thought we'd wind up on opposite sides.
Hello, Martin.
Did you pick up anything new?
Just a lesson on how to dance the chicken.
Sergeant Franklin's been giving you a hard time, has he? Well, let me know if I can help. I had no idea McNair was a close friend of yours, Flynn.
Yeah.
Willie told me. I'm very sorry.
Right.
But we're still not sure it was McNair's body they found in the houseboat.
Oh, didn't they tell you? The dental records matched up. It was Jimmy McNair, all right. I'm sorry the news didn't get you right away. Yeah. Well, we've all got work to do. See you in court.
Sorry, Flynn.
It wasn't a surprise.
What was that thing about dancing the chicken?
Nothing important.
Yeah, dancing the chicken. That's cop talk for keeping a suspect off balance and under control. Well, I was one step beyond that.
When I walked out of Franklin's squad room, I felt barbecued and bagged. The confirmation of Jimmy's death hit me hard. Why was I still digging for evidence that could prove Sung Lee innocent? Well, maybe the cops were right. But somehow it all seemed too easy. I decided to walk my way through it again, trying to sort out the last few hours of Jimmy's life. Willie insisted on coming along. I bought a couple of cups of coffee. We drank them as we walked the wooden wharf between the market and Bridges Restaurant. We were running out of ideas. Then I saw it. One of the mini ferries linking Granville Island with the north shore of False Creek. On its bow, I read a name. Seagull.
Come on, hurry.
Where are we going?
No time to explain.
The little False Creek ferries keep a tight schedule, passengers or no. Willie and I were the only people aboard. But I knew the operator, Joe Kadosky. And he was cooperative.
Yeah, I saw him that day. Yeah, it was about 4:30, I guess. He used the ferry a lot, you know, crossing over the north side and walking downtown.
Well, was his routine any different this time?
Different? Jeez. Stupid. He said he forgot something.
Uh-huh.
He rode right back to the island with me.
Was he carrying anything?
Uh-huh, had an envelope. You know, the manila kind?
Yeah.
Maybe legal papers, that size.
No, think carefully, John.
Huh?
Did he do anything with the envelope when he got off? Maybe give it to someone?
Oh, sorry for him, no. Things got pretty busy there for a while. There was a tug pulling a barge of chip and some kayakers floating around. No, I didn't know.
Well, could he have left it on the boat?
Yeah.
Well, look if you want.
Well, where do we start? Everything's in plain view.
Life jacket stored someplace?
Yeah, under the back bench there.
Bullseye! Back on the island, Willie and I raced to the Blarney Boy to examine the contents of the envelope.
You know, we shouldn't be doing this. It could be evidence.
Only one way to find out. Immigration papers. Official files, it looks like. But no printout of Jimmy's story.
Let's see. Confirmation of landed immigrant status. Names are Chinese. Place of birth, Hong Kong.
Okay. All right. Now, let's suppose Jimmy was writing a column about immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And someone slipped him these documents. Why? Because they're probably forgeries. He was worried someone would be trying to get them back, so he hid them on the ferry.
Well, why a ferry? Why not a bank, a safety deposit box?
Because he was paranoid about everything. And then he called. The Seagull clue was in case someone was eavesdropping. He probably got back to the houseboat just before we all showed up at Johnny's.
Well, the killer must have been watching him to know he was there.
Yeah, you're right. He'd have to be right there. Sung Lee sitting in his car. Or someone else. Where he could watch the houseboat, make sure McNair was home.
Right.
Like us.
What?
We were right by the window in the restaurant.
What are you doing?
Checking my sports fact book.
Why?
Well, the Grey Cup bet with Kalari. I was guessing. Surprised me when the paper confirmed the score. Yeah, here it is. Eskimos 32, Argos 16. Hey, wait a minute. I said it was 34 to 16.
Does it matter?
What? I gave Kalari the wrong score. He phoned the sports desk at the Sun, and they confirmed my numbers were right.
So they made a mistake.
The charred black control box. Kalari didn't find it. He planted it there on the walkway. It was cold enough to pick up.
What are you saying?
Kalari never phoned the Sun. He phoned Jimmy McNair. That was the triggering device. The detonator was on a timer attached to Jimmy's phone.
You mean Martin? You're out of your mind.
A clever plan. I mean, you were his alibi. Sam and I were a bonus.
Nice going, Flynn. I undressed him.
Martin?
Look out, he's got a gun.
Sorry about that. But otherwise, I'm afraid you'd have me at a disadvantage.
Then you did kill McNair.
And framed Sung Lee.
Yeah, you're both right. Unfortunately.
I made a mistake years ago. I was a student working a summer job at a law firm. I was hard up for money. Helped forge some legal documents for a Hong Kong immigration ring. Just that one time, a stupid mistake. Well, McNair found out about it. Couldn't let that drunk ruin my career.
You son of a bitch.
Now don't try anything, Flynn.
Why not? You're going to do it anyway. What's the cover-up this time? Red Tigers strike again?
Just hand over the documents.
There was one slim chance. If I could get close enough to grab the gun. I held out the papers. Willie uncorked a perfect strike, hitting Kalari in the head with my heavy fact book. And I finished him off with a left hook to a soft solar plexus.
So, Kalari's career as a high-flying crown counsel crash-landed into a jail cell. Sung Lee was off the hook. Sam was happy. And Willie and I shared the credit for solving the case. As for her taste in men, yeah, well, the subject never came up. We get along much better that way.
You've just heard Flynn, Part 2, Red Tiger, written by Lyle and Barbara Brown. Featured in the cast were Boyd Norman as Michael Flynn, with Colleen Winton as Willie, and Robert Cloutier as Sam. Special guests this week were Eric Schneider, Kim Kondroshoff, Michael Andalus, and Ken Kramer, with Wally Marsh, Owen Foran, Harvey Lowe, and Angelica Chris. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny, and the series script consultant is James W. Nickel. The recording engineers are Gene Loverock and Chris Cutras, with sound effects by Joe Silva. The production assistants were Dagmar Kafanka and Loretta Joyce. Flynn is produced and directed in Vancouver Studio 3 by Don Kowalczyk. The series' executive producer is Bill Howell.